I'm on a journey to get better in all areas of life, from wellness and mental health to career and relationships and so much more. I know getting better isn't easy, but it's a whole lot easier when you can do it together. Welcome to Better Together with me, Maria Menounos.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Better Together. When you know better, you get better. That's what we do here every single day. And we will continue to here in 2022.
What?
All right. Our quote of the day, we have become addicted to the noise of everything falling apart.
Right?
Mark Nepo.
I know.
What up, Hill Squad? Welcome back. Glad to be back with you. Today, we're going to be chatting with Mark Nepo about leaning into love versus fear. He's going to teach us how we can foster our soul's growth and live a more purposeful, connected, and meaningful life in this new year. Very, very excited to chat with him. I mean, he is so inspiring and just incredible. It's been a minute since we spoke with Mark. I think I chatted with him at the beginning of the pandemic, maybe.
It might have been. I know I wasn't here. I remember listening to it and loving it, but yeah. I know it was before me. So yeah, I'm excited that he's
before
that
me. BM before me.
Before me, exactly. BM before Kelsey. BK.
BK. Well, I'm actually really excited to get his take on love over fear in instances that we really can't imagine. Right? You know, the reason you're afraid is because there's imminent danger, technically, right? There's the fear that we create in our minds, I think. And it's hard because 99% of what you're afraid of usually doesn't actually come to fruition or worried about, let's say. But fear is there. It's an indicator of something. And specifically, I know you actually brought up a really great point because we were talking about all the crime in LA. And the, you know, the fear that we're all living with, and you're like, I'm so curious to hear how we put love over fear when everyone's like getting robbed and held at gunpoint. And, you know, a mom is just walking down a really, really, you know, populated, you know, very nice area street with her baby and her baby carriage. And was it at gunpoint? Did they come to her with a gun? I don't remember.
I don't know. Do you know Pooch? I don't know. I just know mugged was the verbiage that I heard.
Yeah.
And I was like,
they wanted her purse, I think. Yeah. And they asked for the diaper bag.
Like, cool. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Really, really gotten crazy. And, you know, I don't know. Something's got to give. We've got to make some changes. And it's really scary right now.
It is.
But maybe Mark can help us through this.
Yes, right? Please, Mark.
That's what we do here. We are hopeful that we can get some answers that can make us feel better. I know for one, looking at Max's massive body and teeth makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Right. And every time he wants to eat everybody outside of the windows of our home,
you feel better.
Even though sometimes it's Pooja he's barking at wanting to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. Still love him.
Nothing personal, P.
Nothing personal.
but yeah, I think this will be really helpful. So, and by the way, this is happening all over the world. It's a very challenging time. And I think it's going to get more and more challenging now that, you know, that things are changing as well. You know, the pandemic, you know, they're not going to be paying people, you know, they're not going to be getting those checks, let's say, for not being able to work and all of that. And there's going to be a loss people are going to have to deal with there.
Yeah. It's always just interesting too, when I hear, you know, people like Mark, I'm just like, how, Mark, how am I supposed to be leaning into love if I'm scared, you know, to go on a walk at night, you know? And so I think it's like, give me some tools that I can do that. Maybe it's not 100% I'm leaning into love. I'm still going to be afraid, but it's going to ease that fear, you know?
So girls, are we done with the walking alone at this moment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like a big night walker, which is such a bummer because it's my favorite time. And especially now I get home and it's dark because it gets dark at 5.
I know.
Like, it's crazy. So yeah. And no more doing that.
And here's the thing. You want to think you're safe, but right. Larchmont, this area we're talking about is a well-to-do area.
Yeah.
Not like Beverly Hills well-to-do. It's like that, just that comfortable well-to-do where just things like that don't happen.
Don't happen.
And now they're happening. So I'd love to say, you know what? We were driving past West Hollywood the other day and it was like, it was a Monday night and it was bumping. Like West Hollywood's so fun, right? And you'd love to think you're safe, but are you?
Right. Right.
So.
I know. And I always like, I think I just assume, I'm like, I'm going to be good. I'm just walking to Trader Joe's, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, I can't think that way.
No, I know. No. Yeah. I put a force field around all of our properties to protect us every day. I pray and I pray for all of you individually. I'm like, please keep them safe. Please keep them healthy. So you guys are on the list. And I think like,
thank you.
At the end of the day, I've got some pull upstairs. So hopefully, you know, we'll be okay. But in the meantime, to calm our nerves and our bodies, let's talk to Mark Nepo. He has moved and inspired millions of readers and seekers all over the world with his best-selling books. Beloved as a poet, teacher, and storyteller, Mark has been called one of the finest spiritual guides of our time, a consummate storyteller and eloquent spiritual teacher. In 2015, he was given a Lifetime Achievement Award by Age Nation. In 2016, he was named by Watkins Mind, Body, Spirit as one of 100 most spiritually influential living people, and was also chosen as one of OWN's Super Soul 100, a group of inspired leaders using their gifts and voices to elevate humanity. Mark, so happy to be back with you. How are you doing?
Oh, it's great to be with you. See you again. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. We're really excited for you to help us through these challenging times that I feel like just, you know, we kind of one up the challenging times every time, you know, like I think last time we spoke might have been at the beginning of the pandemic. I can't remember exactly. And that was a crazy time. And now we're in a whole other phase. In particular, we were chatting this morning, Kelsey and I, about the crime that we're facing right now, especially in Los Angeles. It's gotten really out of control. It's really scary. A friend of mine's mom was murdered in a what we think a burglary just recently.
So sorry.
You know, a woman's walking down the street with her baby carriage, a really nice area, and she gets, you know, what do they call it?
Mugged.
Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of a nonstop thing. So when you talk about love over fear, how do we use that in these kind of extreme scenarios?
Yeah. So first, let me say I'm sorry to hear all that. And secondly, you know, I can speak to these things. Of course, I have no answers. But I know that I feel deeply in our time that we have to stay present and invisible. We can't vanish. Because vanishing and hiding only empowers fear. And fear is what makes people think they don't have enough, be desperate, and do all these terrible things in the first place. And somehow, it doesn't minimize that, my God, the difficulties that people face. But, you know, I think back, you know, I'm of the Jewish tradition. I'm a student of all paths, but I had family that died in the Holocaust. And when I think, and I've thought about that a lot, in this pandemic time, with all the stridency and the right wing and so many different polarized views. And it's amazing that so many people died back then who were hiding. I'm not blaming them for hiding, but it's something in my soul says we have to stay visible. We have to stay loving. We can't meet fire with fire. We have to meet fire with light and warmth.
Hey, Hill Squad and Better Together fam. It's been a tough year, but we hear from so many of you just how much our content is helping you heal and get better, and it makes us feel so good. Our team works so hard to deliver this life-changing content, and a lot of you guys ask, how can I have a bigger role in our Heal Squad community, or how can I do my part to help Better Together continue to uplift even more people? First of all, thank you for that sentiment, and we're so grateful for this community. If you could help us by giving us a 5-star rating and a comment on Apple Podcasts, that's amazing. Second, you could join the Better Together with Maria Menounos Instagram page. Third, you could share the show with a friend in need. And finally, for as little as $10 a month, please join our Patreon to get monthly live heal events with world-class healers, ad-free episodes of our show, and even weekly bonus episodes exclusive to Patreon. Getting better isn't easy, but it is a whole lot better when we can do it together. We love and appreciate and are so grateful for all of you.
You know, and this is our challenge today, but every generation has its challenge. And the question is, it's our turn. How are we, all of us, going to show up? And you know, in one of my books that I explored so many of the different communities throughout time, and I was surprised to learn that, you know, back in the what we call the Dark Ages in Europe, the 12 to 14, 1500, only 10% of the European population was literate, could read and write. And they kept literacy alive for 300 years. And so whatever dark time or fold of time that we are in, when we're awake, because we could fall asleep tomorrow, when we're awake, it's incumbent on us to keep the literacy of the heart alive and not have it vanish and stay visible and be the one gesture of goodness that keeps the world going. It doesn't make the crime any less tolerable. It doesn't make the pain, the difficulty. But we have to be here together. We can't go into hiding.
Yeah, and that's the instinct, right? I was back east for Thanksgiving, and I was telling my husband, I don't want to go back to LA. I feel safe here. I can sleep well. In LA, I'm on guard. I'm scared. I hear noise. I'm scared. And I did. I wanted to vanish. I wanted to hide. And then when you're not hiding, the instinct is, well, how are we going to protect ourselves against these people?
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, everyone has varying, you know, degrees. We got to get guns. We got to get this. And I'm like, no, we don't even know how to use guns. Yeah. What are we doing? We're going to hurt ourselves somehow in preparation to protect ourselves from someone else. None of this really makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And that's
how it escalates always throughout history, you know, and I think it's a quiet courage that's required for all of us to acknowledge the reality. I mean, because we all have to survive and thrive. If all we do is survive, what's the point? And so, yes, we can't pretend that none of that's not happening out there and that it doesn't agitate us and make us afraid. But our fear isn't the only thing in us. And I know this, I know you know from your journey, but I know this so well from my cancer journey. And anytime that I'm afraid, it's real. And how do I, the practice for me is whatever's causing that fear, how do I feel it thoroughly to the bottom so I get to the bottom of it, because where I'm standing under it is not afraid.
Wait, say that again. I know there was something profound in there, and I'm like, hold on. If I'm standing over it?
On it. If I'm standing here, where I'm standing right now, in me, I can be afraid. But the ground under me is not afraid. The earth under that is not afraid. So how do we stop? It's very normal for us to, if I'm afraid, I want to make a worldview that the world's a fearful place. If I'm broken, I want to say, oh, the world's a broken place. If I've been betrayed, I say, you know what? You can't trust anything in life. And that, how do we not extrapolate our experience to be everything? Because it's not. Yes, I'm feeling fear, but that's not all there is in life, even at this moment of fear. So how do I let all of that in? That's the quiet courage, is to honor what's true in me, so I can let everything beyond that come to make me heal and whole and well. You know, when I was, you know, in my cancer journey many years ago, I was so afraid, so terrified. And I could also feel at the same time, life was happening around me. People were falling in love. Babies were being born. Kindnesses were being given to strangers. So it doesn't make what I'm going through insignificant, but it doesn't make what I'm going through everything.
Mm.
It's all true. And the restorative of life is the wholeness. Let all of those kindnesses mix with my fear and right size it.
That just gave me the chills. Because I think that's the only way, right? Is you're right. It's, you know, it's a pool of things where we're a whole bucket
my dog
of feelings.
Bark. Let me let her out here.
Of course.
Don't worry. She must hear my wife. She's got to get to her. She must hear my wife somewhere in the house.
My dog doesn't like to be locked in anywhere. He needs to flow. So I get it. But yeah, we're all of those things. And I'm really grateful that you brought up the cancer journey, because I think so many of us, when we're going through an extreme hardship, it's so easy to get sad that you aren't necessarily the center of the universe in that moment, right? There have been so many times where I've said to different people, I said, you know, someone you love dies and then everything just keeps on going. Can you even believe that? That's just crazy to me. Like, my mom died. Like, the world should stop. And I know that's not technically how it's supposed to go, but it does give you a little help in understanding that it's not a negative thing. It's that you need to fill yourself up with all these other things. I like that.
You know, I remember during that time there was a fellow journeyer in cancer, an amazing woman who we became very close friends. And when she finally died, and she lived like, you know, 9 lives, and I had seen her the day before. And the next day was that she died, I got a call that she had passed, and it was a beautiful day. And I didn't want it to be beautiful, you know. But the light was mercilessly beautiful. The light kept coming in on my face as if to say, feel what you must, but I am not going anywhere. I will be here when you're done. And I've always remembered that it's not being mean or indifferent. It's being life. It's life being life.
Mm.
And we're all, you know, one of the things in, and I think, you know, the name of your podcast here, Better Together, is so important right now. We are better together. We are more together than alone. We are whole when we reach out to each other. And we never know which gesture is the one that will make us more together than alone. And that's why we have to have the faith to just do it. You know, I could see a woman drop her groceries in the parking lot, and my going over and helping her, I'll never know if that's the one gesture that gets us to tomorrow. And that's kind of beautiful. We all need to keep doing those things. I think one of the thing that was so hit me, and I don't know if hit you when the pandemic was beginning, given your journey and experience. But for me, it really brought up a lot of emotional stuff from my cancer journey. And I pinned it to two things. One was, I remember going and getting diagnosed, and I walked in there and this doctor told me I had cancer, and I was afraid and thrown upside down and thinking, oh, you must have the wrong folder. That can't be me. But when I left, the door I had come through to keep that appointment was gone. There was no way back to life before that appointment. And I think what the pandemic, why that came back to me, I think the pandemic has done this to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
The old world's gone. Mm-hmm. There is no going back. And unless we're better together, unless we're more together than alone, we're not going to discover how to go forward.
Agreed. I said the same thing. When I look at photos in 2016, I look back at them often, there was this one day I was on the set hosting E! News, and I was wearing these, you know, pink top and these like kind of red bottoms, and I was laughing and I was having so much fun with my cast. And that next day was when my mom was diagnosed with brain cancer. And then a few months later, I got my brain tumor. And I look back at that day, and it's just like you said, that door that closed, that life before is completely different than it is now. And I said the same thing, because I used to think, how can I share the epiphanies and the new kind of life lessons that I had learned through this experience with people without having them have to get a brain tumor. And the pandemic, COVID, was the collective brain tumor for everyone.
Yes.
That's when everyone got to see how precious life is, how precious your family is, how precious your time together is, how precious your health is. All of that, the whole world, I mean, it's mind-blowing to me still that the whole world stopped and that door closed, like you said, and it's a whole new world now.
How is it already the holidays? For many of us, that means travel and family, and unfortunately, it can mean stress and pressures too. Tis the season to be jolly, but sometimes it just doesn't feel that way, and that's okay. Ease some of the burdens the holidays can bring with Talkspace Online Therapy. I know this is going to be a hard holiday season for us without my mom, and you know what? It's okay to not always be merry and cheery, but it is important to get the support you need. You've heard me talk about Talkspace. It's the number one online therapy platform that has thousands of licensed therapists trained in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, relationships, and much more. If you need a little support to help you through the end of the year or want to start building towards a better upcoming year, Talkspace is here to help. Match with a licensed therapist when you go to Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month with the promo code BETTER. That's $100 off when you use the code BETTER at Talkspace.com.
I know in today's hectic and stress-filled world, we're always looking for ways to improve our overall wellness. That's why I'm so excited to invite you to watch a wellness panel I moderated brought to you by Sprouts Farmers Market over at sprouts.com/livestream. We chatted about gut health, inflammation, immunity, stress, and anxiety, because who can't use some help in those areas? I know I can. You're going to be so inspired to hear from the golden girl of wellness herself, Candace Kumai, discuss the principle of kintsugi and some seriously delicious wellness-friendly recipes. Dr. Josh Axe and Jordan Rubin, co-founders of Ancient Nutrition, also brought some incredible gut health and inflammation tips, like how to pick a probiotic and incorporate bone broth. Finally, New York Times bestselling author and founder of The One, Naomi Whittle, introduced us to spice fruit, an amazing supplement for metabolic health. Guys, you can't miss this conversation. Head over to sprouts.com/livestream to catch the recording. After you watch, you might just be inspired to stock up on some goodness for delivery or curbside pickup at shop.sprouts.com.
It's a whole new world now. And one of the things, you know, in the Jewish tradition, the word Sabbath means the one day we don't turn one thing into another. And the pandemic has forced us into a global Sabbath. We can't keep running and even dreaming and scheming and manipulating and turning things in, we're forced to realize, just like you said, everything as it is a miracle. Mm-hmm. Everything as it is precious. And as I reflected on all of this, that the old world is gone and how precious, you know, it reminded me of, I don't know if you've heard of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She was, yeah, so she was the modern mother of the hospice movement, which is, hospice has been around forever, but she was the modern mother of that. And her stages of grief, which are fear, denial, anger, depression, and acceptance. And they don't, they're like a con, like you bounce around them. They don't happen in order. But look at our society in the last year and a half. We have whole parts of our society that are in denial that the old world is gone. Mm-hmm. And they're angry. No, they're angry, denial. They, no, this, you know, people are dying in hospitals and they're saying, this is a hoax. This didn't happen. And we have a whole part of our society that is in anger that the old world is gone. And these are all the people who don't want to get masked. And what are we protesting against? Biology? You know, sorry. It's just, it is what it is. And so, and it's not to blame people, but of course that denial and that anger leads to the fear, which leads to the pushing away, which leads to the crime, which leads to everything, as if, you know, we can change it. The only way to change it is to come together. Mm-hmm. And that's not changing it. That's moving forward. And I say this humbly because, you know, one of the paradoxes that I feel every day is that we are they. There is no they. And, you know, I look at the news, and if I had hair, I'd pull it out, you know? And then my spirit says, yeah, but we are they. And I say, no, I'm not that. And it says, we are they. Be with it. Be with mm-hmm. it. And so, again, it doesn't mean that we ignore the threats and the difficulties, but we can't respond the same way, or we become that which we fear.
So how do you, you know, when everybody always says, you know, you got to choose love, you got to choose love. There are times when people have to be punished, or like when there are murderers, like how do you choose love with a murderer?
Well, I think, you know, love is, you know, we recently, you probably heard it on the news in Michigan, the horrible mass shooting in that school, and the parents ran, and, you know, and that prosecutor charged those parents. And I think that's a form of love.
Wait, I didn't hear this story.
Oh, you didn't hear this story?
No.
I don't want to go down a whole rabbit hole.
To be honest, I don't watch the news very much. I keep a few headlines on Twitter because I want to be aware of what's going on in the world, but I'm so upset about all the school shootings and how unsafe it is. So the parents ran and they were prosecuted?
Not to go down the whole journey on that to get us off track, but just to make this point, yes, we had a 15-year-old who was given an automatic handgun as a Christmas, early Christmas present by his parents, went into school, was summoned by the school because he was showing erratic behavior. The parents didn't want to hear it. They insisted he stay in school, and he shot and killed people. He was arrested, of course, and the parents were charged with involuntary manslaughter because they didn't stop him. They gave him the gun. They brought him they didn't pull the trigger. So once they were charged, they became fugitives. They ran and they were caught, and now they're in jail. So what I was saying is that love is inextricable from truth and authenticity. And so that prosecutor in Detroit, who is a woman and a mother as well, said, I must hold these parents accountable. That is an act of love. Love isn't always passivity.
Mm.
Love isn't all, you know, I feel like, you know, the groups that I'm starting to go back out in the world and teach in person again. Oh my God, it's so wonderful. it's so wonderful to be with people again.
Yeah.
You know, and, but I think very much in with all of what's going on, and I've said to myself, I've made a vow to myself, I will allow anyone into the circle except those intent on destroying the circle. I don't know how, and that to me is a vow of love. I don't know how else to protect the people who come into circle with me.
Mm.
So I think we're all figuring it out as we go, but I think love can be fierce and gentle, you know?
So in that situation, for example, I'm assuming, and I hate assuming, that it's if you're vaccinated or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when we look at this, you know, love thy neighbor, love thy everyone, the people who are making other choices, should we be loving them equally for their choice?
Well, for me, and I can only speak for me, I can love people, but the choices they make set limits on how I can love them.
Okay.
You know, you love a dove differently than you love a bear. A dove can eat out of my hand. If I try to have a bear eat out of my hand, it's, you know, I have to have more distance from a bear, mm-hmm. but I can still love it. I can still feed it. I can still care. All right. So, you know, people who are choosing for whatever reason not to be vaccinated are putting other people at risk. So the only way that I can love them is from a distance. More distance than if you and I were together and we're vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. And you're not coming from fear.
I'm coming from fact that they're more contagious.
Got it.
The fear is that if I ignore that, I will get sick.
Yeah.
And not only that, it can be passed to other people. So where we can protect each other, I mean, I know that this has been so politicized in the last 2 years in. But, you know, I'm old enough that, you know, when I was a kid, I waited online out of my junior high school to get a polio vaccine. And it was a miracle of modern medicine. We were thankful to do it. It makes no sense to me that vaccine has any connotation to it other than this is better than doing nothing. Because if you do nothing, we can see terrible suffering will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's remarkable that a vaccine is even possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
The 1300s, the bubonic plague wiped out Europe. And nobody could do anything.
Yeah. It's such a challenging thing because, you know, I understand why people are afraid and why they choose not to. For example, I'm having a party and I asked everyone to present their vaccination cards and a negative COVID test so that I could protect everybody there. I have top doctors in the world coming. I'm like, we can't get these guys sick. Like we gotta be careful. But I know at the same time, I feel a little bad because I know that my choice is different than other people's choices. We're all given choices. And it's such a hard thing because at the same time I think about it, I'm like, well, any one of these people could have it, right? You're only negative for a second, that second that you're testing, then you interact with somebody, you touch something, and all of a sudden you might have it. So really, are we, you know, assuming that we're safer, right? Like if we're vaccinated, we should be protected from the unvaccinated person, technically, just as much as the vaccinated person. This is like, it's so hard.
Well, it's very difficult and everyone is figuring it out as we go. I don't think, it's very ambiguous. But I know for me, I feel like with the best information we have, vaccinated is much better than unvaccinated. And it's not, you know, I can respect people's choices, but then there's consequences for those choices mm-hmm. because the choices are not self-contained. That is, if you and I are, you know, we decide you want to go bungee jumping off the mountain and that's your choice, it's not going to affect me. I'm not tied to the rope. But we're all tied together in humanity, like it or not, especially at the biological level. And if you choose not to be vaccinated for whatever reason, now I know, I realize there are some people because of medical reasons that the vaccine might compromise them. That's something different entirely. That's a hard spot to be in. That's very difficult. And I yeah. understand that. But if I'm choosing not to be vaccinated because I either, you know, for whatever reason that's not medical, that's not biological, I'm not just affecting me.
Yeah.
I'm affecting others and everyone I come in contact with. And so what it really pushes at the heart, and which is at the heart of all the traditions, is that, you know, where is the fulcrum between self-interest and compassion? Mm. Where is the fulcrum between where, because, you know, more together than alone and better together, we tend to believe that, and I do, that at the heart of it, self-interest and common interest are the same. True self-interest. If I'm selfish, then that's at the expense of others. Mm-hmm. But the things that matter, if I take good care of my soul and my life, it can only benefit your soul and life. And if I take good care of your soul and life, it can only benefit my soul and life. They're not at odds. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, it's interesting throughout history, fear has made people think that self-interest will save them, when great love and suffering affirm we can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. No one can do it alone.
Very true.
Hey, Heal Squad. The holiday season is festive and fun, but it can also be stressful. Gift shopping, hosting, and traveling all take a toll. Quality sleep is essential to help boost energy, recovery, and well-being. That's why I'm here to talk to you about Sleep Number. If you're like me, you hate mattress shopping. I've always gone home unhappy, but not anymore. I don't know why we didn't know about Sleep Number before. You go online and take a quiz, then you go into the store and they use a high-tech mattress to discover your pressure points. It's actually an amazing process. Then they take your sleep number, mine's 25. You lay on one or two beds that the quiz chose for you and boom, you're done. And their beds are even more high-tech and mind-blowing than I have time to tell you right now, but just wait until you try. My bed is also temperature balancing and has a foot heater, perfect for the cooler months. Trust me, don't go anywhere else for a mattress. Discover special offers now for a limited time at your local Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com/better. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep.
The holidays are all about coming together and creating the magic of the season. Sure, you can buy ornaments and decorations, but isn't building your own so much more fun? This year, KiwiCo invites your family to make the holidays a little more hands-on, all while learning a thing or two along the way. KiwiCo is the one-stop gift shop for kids of every interest and age. Kids can discover the mechanics behind everyday objects, learn the science of cooking, explore new cultures, and practice new art and design techniques, all through fun, hands-on projects. Their website is amazing. There are so many cool things to choose from. I personally am buying the Light Up Haunted House for me, Kelsey, and Pooja to build when we need a little brain break. But seriously, this holiday season, give the gift of a fun, hands-on holiday experience with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month, plus free shipping on any crate line with code BETTER at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KIWICO.com with the promo code BETTER. What are some daily practices? You know, I think this is kind of another one of those things that it's like a muscle we need to build. What are some daily practices that we can start implementing to train ourselves to lead with love and not fear?
Well, I think one thing is that fear is a natural thing. We as human beings tend to inflate it. That's just because we're human. Mm-hmm. But, and what all the spiritual practices and our own self-awareness and love does is say, wait a minute. Okay, you made it big. Now bring it back more accurately to what it is. And so we can practice that. So when I feel afraid, a rush of adrenaline and I'm afraid and I start to close up, I need to practice opening up when I close. When I'm tight, I need to soften. When I feel like I'm distrusting, I need to take a small risk. And we can practice those things every day because during our day, you know, I can go out the front door, miss the first step, and I get that rush of adrenaline. Whoa, I'm going to fall down. Well, there I've tightened up fear. Now I can stop and breathe and open back up. Practice, because what matters is opening when we're closed. Mm-hmm. What matters is looking when we're afraid. And we all face that and we all can practice that. So, you know, when I get overwhelmed, I practice. I'm here in my study. I look out my window. And I give all my attention to the nearest thing I can see, which is usually this tree out here. I invite people to practice giving all your attention and heart to the nearest detail you can see until it becomes your teacher, till it starts talking to you. Because life will talk to us. Life will break our self-reference.
Explain how.
Well, in the same way that I was mentioning before about fear, that letting light in when I'm sad, letting light in when I am afraid, because it mixes with who I am, everything I'm not. So how do we stay open? This is why if I'm enclosed in my own fear, in my own thoughts, if I can pick up the phone and talk to you as a friend, it helps. Mm-hmm. That's why it helps, because I've broken the seal. I've broken the cocoon of my own fear and my own thoughts. And now I hear myself talking to you and I hear you talking to me and they mix like two cups of water. And now it's not just my water. And now I go, okay, yeah, this is real, but I made it much bigger than it is. Phew, okay. This is why we feel better for the moment when we do talk to loved ones. That won't take away my fear or pain. I've got to live through that myself.
But it's also filling up that bin, like we said, with other things.
Yeah.
So fear isn't the only thing in there, and fear isn't the highlight.
Yeah. So, you know, I have a dear friend and mentor, Parker Palmer, amazing visionary educator. And he's often said, you know, how can I be so authentic that my fear, I don't drown in my fear, but it lives in me.
Ooh, I love that.
And we all know, right? We can feel the difference. And we all, you know, fear says hello, we drown in it. You mm-hmm. know,
oh, yeah.
But then...
I've been drowning for years. Someone sends me a life preserver every so often, but otherwise but I'm doggy paddling in there.
Each of us, what is our practice then? And that's what all the breathing and the meditating tradition, meditative traditions are about is, yeah, how do we enlarge our sense of things so that now the fear lives in us rather than we in it?
Mm, that's so good. That's so good. You know, our quote we started the show with today was one of your quotes. We have become addicted to the noise of everything falling apart. Talk to me about the addiction.
Well, you know, so in life, it's kind of like spiritual physics. When things are always coming together and always breaking apart at the same time, always. But when things fall apart or break apart, they make a lot of noise. Just think of when you drop a dish in the kitchen. But when things come together or are repaired, they're quiet. This is just spiritual physics. So just think of when you glue that plate back together. It's a very quiet, slow thing. They're all happening at the same time. And we in the modern world have become addicted to the noise of things falling and breaking apart. And that makes it out of balance because mm-hmm. that is in the foreground. So, you know, when I was young and we only had three TV stations, then the weather report was called the weather report. Now it's called Storm Watch.
Yep.
Well, right. Storm's only one form of weather, mm-hmm. but that's in the foreground. And the same thing, of course, as you know, with the 24/7 news, mm-hmm. it focuses on the noise of things breaking and falling and coming apart. And so we don't need to like not look at that, but we need to balance and right size it with witnessing things coming together. Mm-hmm. They're happening. It's happening. So we don't need a good news station. We need a whole news station that doesn't leave out what's coming together and repairing. And, you know, like it makes a lot of noise to break a bone and pain. But when that bone starts healing, which is one of the, when you just think about it, a bone breaks and immediately the two ends of that bone, they start growing toward each other. They don't make any noise. They don't announce anything. Nobody sees it, hears it. That's amazing. So we have to let that into the picture every day. And if the news won't do it, then we have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that was one of the things that I loved learning Tony Robbins. He said, you can let the world feed you or you can feed you. You know, feed your mind, feed your soul, feed your spirit. And that's, I think, when I started every day kind of listening to something on YouTube that was positive, that was going to push me forward, that was going to help me, that was going to heal me. I think that was when the awareness of we have these choices and if we choose to be addicted to the noise of everything falling apart, we're going to feel that every day. Focus equals feeling. Whatever we're focusing on, we're going to feel. And I think that's when I abandoned the news because that one last segment in the news where it was like that feel good, you know, the little kid who got straight A's and shared his winnings with everybody. It's not enough after you've just seen death and destruction for an hour, you know, great thing to end on. Of course, thank you for trying, but it's just not enough for me.
Well, and another thing about, which is just kind of a function of modern media is, you know, it's wonderful that things are repeated so that many people can become aware of them, but I don't need to see each one 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember, you know, of course, all those years ago when the towers came down, my wife and I, my wife Susan and I were, we were just traveling in Montreal and we were on our way home. We literally were packing our suitcases when we saw live. Oh, it was awful. And of course, as you know, I mean, and then we saw it 100 times in 10 hours. And I've thought about that ever since in the fact that the value of modern media and instantaneous technology is that everyone around the world can be aware at once and pretty quickly. But I don't need to see that plane go into those towers 1,000 times. I need to see it once so that it registers in my heart. And so then I need not to keep watching
it. Mm-hmm.
Because it's only how it touched our heart. You know, this is amazing when you think of the time difference. I read this recently that back when Lincoln was president, the second inaugural, which was handwritten, his speech, very short speech it was, then it was copied by hand and disseminated by Pony Express across the country, so that it took 10 days from when he spoke it for someone in Sacramento to read it.
Wow.
And of course, I don't want to give up the instantaneous, the live being, but there's something lost if we don't have the natural slowness of time to help us reflect before we act or speak.
Mm.
And our society is suffering greatly from this right now.
Everything's instantaneous. And then it's a blip too. That's the other thing. So that's what where it's kind of tough, because everything is such a blip. And also, we're so desensitized that sometimes you need to see things a few more times to even register it even happened, because nowadays everything's moving so fast. But that's why I started Better Together, because I can do what I feel is going to be positive and helpful. And it's my safe space for me and for everybody. Mark, before we let you go, I have to ask, what are your spiritual practices? Obviously, being, you know, the spiritual guru, it'd be great to know what you do.
Throughout my life, I've, you know, worked with different practices. But I have to say, at this point in my life, my practice is an integrated one. That is, I try to, I mean, if I'm really upset or something, I will stop and meditate and do this. But generally, you know, I try to meditate when I'm impatient in the grocery store, you know. I try to do the things that matter. I try to give attention to what's near me, wherever I am. You know, I try to listen with an open heart. And so, but I do start each day with three very simple practices. So I'm a morning person. My wife Susan's a night person. So the first thing I do when I get up is I open the blinds and let light in. And the second thing I do is take care of something living, which is our dog, Zuzu.
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 Such a great name.
It's from It's a Wonderful Life.
I know. Yes, it's my favorite Christmas movie ever.
And then the third thing is I do something for someone I love. I make coffee for Susan, so when she's up, the coffee's ready. And this is the, for all of us, I encourage anyone to just very simple things. But if I do that, very present to it, that I'm letting light in, I'm caring for something living, I'm doing something for someone I love, it changes the way the whole day unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference, you know, if I'm racing, you know, some morning I get up and I already got, like, you know, 10 things on my mind. And so now I'm racing through raising the blinds. Well, then what was a ritual, which means my heart is I'm very present to it, it becomes a habit.
Mm-hmm.
But the wonderful thing about being human is if I feel, I have done it where I've been racing through and I go, wait a minute, start over. I didn't do that with an open heart. It was a habit. Let me back up and make it a ritual. That's what changes how I meet the rest of the day.
I love that. That really resonates with me because I've had different spiritual, you know, healers and such on the show. And a lot of them have said that if they don't maintain their practice, that's when they get off track. So they really rely on that, like, you know, really intense practice in the morning to keep them on track. And I feel like I am more with you, where if I look at my morning, especially when I'm here in this house, once I leave this house and travel, things get a little mucky, right? Yeah. But my practice every morning is I get up and I start to play with the dogs in bed, and I tell them how much I love them and how grateful I am for them and how, you know, I love each of them in different ways. And I play with them and they make me smile and they make me happy. And then I'll take a shower and I'll see the sun coming into the shower, and I'm like, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. And then I'll make my coffee and I sniff my coffee grinds, and I'm so grateful that I get to sniff my coffee grinds and that I get to smell that. And then, you know, I'll go outside and I'll hug the sun and I'll breathe and I'll do some stretching, and I'm like, today's going to be a great day, and it feels so good. And I just keep all day, I'm saying what I'm grateful for all day, all day, all day. And then at night I end with a grateful practice where I list everything I was grateful for that day. And I think that that has been something that has become a ritual for me that's really helpful. And like I said, when I'm traveling, things get a little mucky because now I don't have my coffee grinds necessarily. Yeah. And, you know, so I try to do a different version wherever I am. But that really helps me. And I think I've taken for granted that this is just my version and my version is okay. And I like explaining that for people who are listening, because I think a lot of us are told and taught, you've got to meditate for 20 minutes, you've got to do this practice, and you got to breathe and meditate, you got to do all these things. And it makes people feel like failures when they in fact might already have a really good ritual that they just need to acknowledge.
Absolutely. And I would encourage, you know, for me, I would encourage whatever small gesture that speaks to someone in their life that helps them, because stay, remember how rare it is to be here. Because the practice, it for me, and I know for you, is being authentic and grateful. That's the practice. And so that is all, and it's always course correcting. Nobody stays there, at least not in my experience, all the time. Nobody stays there. We're always course correcting, mm-hmm. a little to the left, a little to the right. Now, you know, when I was, my father is gone now, but he was a master woodworker, and he loved the sea. And he had built a 30-foot ketch that I spent a lot of time on as a boy. But when I was a boy, he'd put me on the tiller, on the steering wheel of the sailboat, on the, say, steer on this course. I think he knew I had a lot of focus. but I learned that at like 8 or 9 years old, even when you're on course, that compass never stands still.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on course, you always got to go, oh, wait, a little this way. Oh, wait, a little that way. Mm. Oh, I'm a little too insular today. Oh, I gave myself away a little bit today. Oh, I that was a habit. I need to make that a ritual. Oh, and that's why we have to love the process, because it never ends.
Mm, I love that. You're right. We're always shifting a little, trying to get back on track. That's really great. Again, that gives a lot of forgiveness and empathy to ourselves as we're going through our day. Mark, this is beautiful as always. I want to make sure everybody knows that you have a webinar. The Gift of Relationship is Mark's new webinar. It's happening in January. We're going to link it in the description so you can pre-sign up if you'd like. You can sign up now for the webinar if you want, live.marknepo.com. But like I said, we're going to put the link to that in here. And this September, I know you have a new book called Surviving Storms. That's exciting.
Yeah, thank you so much. Surviving Storms, Finding the Strength to Meet Adversity.
We need that.
Yeah. Well, it's so wonderful to be with you again. I'm glad you're well.
Thank you. Same.
To journey together.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. We are better together. You can follow Mark on Instagram, by the way, at @Mark_Nepo. We'll put that in the link to this as well. Mark, have a wonderful day. Thank you so much. Yeah. All right.
Maria.
Another great chat with Mr. Nepo.
Wow. 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 I have to tell you, I'm literally taking like feverish notes in here. I am so grateful for the show. This was so incredibly timely for me because I just had a friend, a really close friend last night tell me that she wasn't vaxxed. And it's not the problem that she's not vaxxed. It's she had been like lying to me / other people. And it was like, girl, what? Whoa. And so I've been trying to figure out how to respond to that.
How are you going to respond?
You know, I think I'm just going to say, like, after listening to this, it really helped me. It's like, it is absolutely your choice, but you need to tell people. You need to make people aware if you're going to be seeing them, if you're going to be like, you know, it's your choice, but it's also on you to tell others.
Yeah.
That you're. So anyways, it really helped me because I've been like, it's kind of been sitting on my chest.
Well, I'm glad that that helped you.
Yeah.
And
it's just so wild how like, I don't know, every day I'm like, this is so timely. I can take one little, like, I'm just so grateful.
That's why this show is amazing.
Amazing.
And I'm really grateful we got to have that chat because for me, you know, people always talk about love over fear, love over fear. And I'm like, that's great. There's realities.
Right.
But I think when, you know, he explains just to me that bucket concept of, okay, it can't all just be fear. And I think, you know, I think that also speaks to everything happening in the world today. We're all just so focused on what's not right.
Right.
That we forget there are some other things that are good too.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, while louder. We're working on these things, let's work on these things, but it's not the whole picture.
Right.
So we have to look at the whole picture in life. And I'm going to try to not make all of the crime and the security fears be my main thing.
Focus,
I'm going to remember that we are safe as well and apply it in different ways. And I really, really enjoyed the conversation about rituals.
Yes,
and
me too.
And all of that. Cause I'm like, wait, I have a really great ritual. It's pretty much what he's saying. That's so cool.
Well, and I was going to say too, I love listening to you talk about it. Like you're such an expert as well. Like, I feel like sometimes we have these people on the show and they're like, well, I have 3-hour morning rituals. And I'm like, okay, so I suck if I don't have that.
Yeah.
But no, like I do my little things in the morning. I sniff, I do the same thing. And it's like, that works for me. And that's great. So like hearing you, who you are, like so successful, like such an expert, like someone that like I look up to, hearing you say that, and I know a lot of people are going to feel this way, that makes us feel better.
Thanks,
you know,
queen.
So it's like, I thought that that was such a cool, like just authentic, truthful conversation. And I really appreciate that.
Thanks, queen.
You're welcome.
All right, Hail Squad. Another great chat down. If you haven't hit subscribe on YouTube, hit that button now and never miss a show. If you're new, we go on the journey. We have a lot of fun as we're doing it, but we also are on a journey to get better and to grow and to heal and to be together because we are better together. And if you could help us by sharing the show with a friend, share an episode that moved you, that helped you, that you love, that would be wonderful. Also, just an invitation to all of you to join us on Patreon. We'll link that in the summary of this as well. If you join us at the $10 tier, you get ad-free shows, an extra show a week, and you get the monthly heal events that are really incredible, really intimate, amazing experiences with our incredible guests. And there are, you know, very wide variety of events. So I think you guys will really, really enjoy it. And a lot of these guests we have access to don't even work with people individually anymore. And so it's a real treat to be able to get them in there. So join us.
And you get to be on with Maria. So
you get
a twofer, a guest and Maria.
It's a twofer. Mm-hmm. I love a good twofer.
Me too.
All right, everybody. Have an amazing day. Be nice people, make good choices, and be present.